right, take 15.
Okay.
We are here at the 2018 California-Nevada Credit Union League Reach Conference in Hollywood, California, with Mr. Jeremy Impole from the league. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome.
It's a nice afternoon. We're in Hollywood.
It is.
Doing multiple takes on this.
I know. It's like our 20th take. You know?
It's just fitting to be in Hollywood.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. Hometown of both of us. You know?
Indeed.
In our area, at least.
That's right. So tell folks out there what you do for the league out there, because I think it's a very interesting job that you have.
So I'm our congressional affairs lobbyist. Mm-hmm. My job is to make sure that members of Congress are thinking about credit unions, even if it's not in their purview once they get to Congress.
Okay.
Most people don't understand that once you go to Congress, what happens is you get assigned to a committee. Mm-hmm. That becomes your area of expertise in addition to making sure your district and your constituents or your state, if you're a senator, mm-hmm. Are your priorities. So in a state like California, 12 million credit union members, we need to make sure that it's a priority across all 53 districts. Nevada, one of the highest propensity of banking members of Congress, at least in this last session of Congress, which is about to change over because mm-hmm. of the election the other day. But we have 4 members in the House, 2 members of the Senate. Both senators are on the Senate Banking Committee. Of the 4 members in the House, one of them is on the Financial Services Committee.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a senior member of the House Appropriations Committee on Financial Services and General Government Funding, and that's Congressman Mark Amaday. So of 6 members of Congress in Nevada, think about that. They are representing quite a bit of what's happening in the financial services sector
for
the government.
So advocacy for these folks is priority one, I would think.
Absolutely. So we have quite a few members of the Financial Services Committee. We have obviously 2 senators on the Banking Committee in Nevada. And we have California is an epicenter for everything. They always say, as goes California, goes the rest of the country. So financial services, same way. I believe, don't quote me on this, and no, please don't get mad at me, especially on the social medias. But I believe we're about 10 to 12% of the country's assets in credit unions, I believe.
Possibly.
So if that's about accurate, you know, Congress, I think our delegation makes up about 14-15%. Somebody out there is going to do the numbers and get
mm-hmm.
mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think about those in terms of relations to where things are in mm-hmm. Congress mm-hmm. and what that means. And that's why, essentially, I go out there and I make sure that members of Congress are thinking about credit unions.
Gotcha. So what are the things that you do to keep credit unions top of mind for those folks?
So it begins at home with our members. And I, you know, it kind of sounds hokey and corny to say this, but it is the truth. Diana, our CEO and league president, has instilled into us the value of members first. And it starts with them.
Mm-hmm.
We work to make sure that our members have solid grassroots relationships with our members of Congress and at our state level. Our state program is second to none, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so to do that, we have to make sure we're doing district meetings. We're inviting credit union members to, members of Congress mm-hmm. to credit unions. We do a coffee literally at your Starbucks 3 blocks over from the credit union.
Oh, wow.
A couple of us will sit down with a member of Congress on a random Friday when mm-hmm. they're out of session.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that on the Monday before they get on the plane to go back to D.C. We'll do PAC fundraising. We'll if it's the right person to do a fundraiser,
we'll
use a check from our PAC, which CUNA's PAC, QLAC.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take that and we'll say, hey, you know, let's sit down with us and let's talk about the world,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because
you can't talk about policy matters during that time. You talk about anything you want other than policy.
Just keep the relationship building in front of
right?
them. Right.
Yeah. And you do that over time, and then they develop a relationship, and then they take your card and they say, I'm going to call you about this project or this other thing going on in the district for when that time is right.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to build that relationship. And then they say, you know, here's my cell phone number. Call me, or my private email. Call
mm-hmm.
me
mm-hmm.
and then or email me. And you start to develop that time and time again. And that's how we genuinely lead to success.
Okay.
And more associations are looking at a grassroots model mm-hmm. of lobbying, because you have your day-to-day policy lobbyists, which we do that as well,
mm-hmm.
but you have to have these relationships, and that's where the members are so key to be involved
no doubt.
In. Because I can go in there and give them all the talking points in the world,
mm-hmm.
but the story comes from the
story,
members.
Exactly.
And that's where it
hits home. Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you talk about grassroots, mm-hmm. and that's the stories coming from the members, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's the practice that we have to do on a consistent basis. Because I know you have a connection with Ryan Donovan. We all have connections with Ryan Donovan at CUNA.
Yeah.
And he keeps preaching that as well.
Absolutely.
Consistency is key here.
Yeah. It starts with Okay, so let's imagine you're CEO and you're dealing with compliance form number 1111, mm-hmm. right? And you're so tired of this. But this one form is keeping you from serving your member, from mm-hmm. providing them that key essential service that they're coming to you for, that they're not going to the payday lender for, or that mm-hmm. they're not going to some other bank or somebody else for that. They're yeah. coming to the credit union specifically and they need this help. Mm-hmm. But that forms the impediment. So you come to the league, you come to CUNA, and you talk to us about how we can ease that burden, mm-hmm. or ease that regulatory mm-hmm. burden. And we can go in there and say, okay, we've been hearing from our membership that Form 1111 is driving everybody nuts, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Here's mm-hmm. all the talking points. Member of Congress, their staff are going to say, okay, we appreciate this. We got to investigate. We got to look into this. Mm-hmm. But if we're not in there with the member telling the story, they don't have that anecdotal information. They don't have that testimonial. Right. And that's why it's so important. Yep. And the other thing is this. In advocacy, there is turnover. And it's eventually going to happen. We've lost great lobbyists that go on to other things. Great advocates have gone mm-hmm. on to other things. Mm-hmm. But within the credit union industry, the CEOs were once a VP. And they move up. And they go from credit union to credit right. union. They stay ancillary to the family. And it's very important to maintain those relationships, which is why that part of the grassroots equation has to fit in.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, your advocates are going to come and go. Mm-hmm. But if those who are within the industry are staying mm-hmm. and they're developing those relationships, mm-hmm. it's key to them. You know, advocacy, that's our job to have this relationship. Right. But CEOs and VPs, I don't think they think that's a part of it. It really is something I wish we could ingrain in them.
Well, that's kind of segues my next question, sure. and very timely one, of course, is the midterms. The midterms are just to happen. How will these elections impact the credit unions, the results of them?
So everybody's hearing the term divided government. The Democrats gained, as of this morning, I think we're looking at a net of about 30 to 40 seats in that range. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting for a couple elections to be mm-hmm. Called. Here in California, I just read that Orange County, where two seats are still not called, 400,000 ballots still left to be counted.
Oh, really?
And that's
that many?
Across four congressional districts.
Goodness.
So we don't know what the breakout of that will be, but that's going to take some time to get through those. But Democrats have clearly won the House. The Republicans have increased their majority in the Senate. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a couple things. I've seen a lot of the trade publications saying, okay, you know, it's going to be gridlock and everything's going to stop. I think we have to take a look at things holistically. First, let's look at this year, okay? What happened this year? S-2155. Mm-hmm. Major regulatory relief package, but also a charter bill for us.
Yeah.
That cleared the table of quite a few of our agenda items mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. So that's leaves credit unions in a good place going into this. We're still going to be going through the regulatory period, the comment period, and rule writing part of this for the next probably up to a year, maybe a little longer,
okay.
To enact all the provisions of 2155. So that's the first part of that. So what does that mean that we can advocate on? Obviously, the leagues in CUNA, we have an agenda mm-hmm. made up completely by our members. What we need to do now, we have a great working relationship with Maxine Waters. We're not so sure who the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee is going to be. Mike Crapo, who the author of S-2155, he might move over to the Judiciary or the Senate Finance Committee, mm-hmm. which is taxes, mm-hmm. Which would mean Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania would move on. And so you see all the cards.
Yeah, my gosh.
That's going to take a while to sort out.
Okay.
And then on top of that, we were talking about the committees a little bit. I believe it's about a quarter of the Financial Services Committee either lost their seat or retired or moved on, or now we'll see them jump to other committees. Democrats now having the majority, they have to figure out the ratio once the election is of how many seats you can have on the committees. Then from there, and by the way, this is all happening before we start talking credit union policy, okay? So then what you have to do from there is you have to figure out how many people can be on the committee,
what the
ratio of Democrats to Republicans is going to be. And then you have to start doling out the assignments. Now, the key one we know the chairman is going to be Maxine Waters from California, from down here in LA. Mm-hmm. Again, we have a great working relationship with her. Congress, you know, there's few members of Congress we agree with everything 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And you find that 20 to 30%, or maybe in some cases 80 to 90% that you agree on and not the 10 or 20% you disagree mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. And that's where you move forward. And we have to find that common ground. So it also depends on their agenda. Without going into specific items that we want to tackle in the next session, the impact on the midterms is a lot of sorting out.
Okay.
And that happens till January.
Okay.
And maybe a little into early February.
Okay.
I think we'll see it sorted out by the time we get around to the CUNA Government Affairs Conference.
Well, that'll be exciting for sure.
So quite a bit. But and in terms of gridlock, I'm not so sure of that. We like to think of things, S-2155 took about 7-8 years to come together as a massive package, but there were a lot of little things that we did along the lines mm-hmm. and we're still doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll particularly you see these smaller little items be some things. One thing we had a hand in this year, which I was particularly proud of from the California members, were able to do this for us. Bankers wanted access to military bases where to be essentially rent-free, credit unions already have that. It's in the Federal Credit Union Act. Banks wanted parity with that. We were able to stop that. It was us playing a little defense. And there were four members of the conference committee that decided that bill from California that spoke up and wrote a letter on that we had initiated. I think we'll see some little things like that, right? That might not be a home run, but it's definitely a single or a double.
Well,
and
exactly.
That's what we need to, probably be working in.
Okay.
You know, and that's how you navigate the gridlock.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, it sounds like we have a full plate ahead of us for next year as well.
It's going to be fun. Hope to see you all at the CUNA Government Affairs Conference, the GAC, and then those of us in California, Nevada, we have our two lobby days coming up on early February for our Nevada members, April for our California members. We appreciate it. I hope to see everybody there.
All righty. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Thank you so much for this. And